Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My father was a pastor, as you know, up in West LA for a number of years back in the 60s. And one Sunday morning, he was up by the chancel. That's the chancel. He was up there, and there was a commotion at the back of the church. It was Westchester Lutheran is a long nave, long rectangular nave. And there was a commotion at the back, and the ushers were escorting a man out into the aisle and toward the door. A homeless guy had wandered in and sat down in the back. He didn't look very good, and he smelled even worse. And people around him were kind of irritated, and they summoned the ushers over and picked him up and were walking him out. My father went up to the pulpit, and he said, "If he leaves, so do I." From that day on, my father had made some enemies. That's how the church works. From that day on, there were a few folks in the congregation who never liked him again because he dared to stand up for the bum who the ushers wanted to throw out of the church. We are not a gracious crowd. We like to think of ourselves as magnanimous, but that's not grace. Jesus was up in the region of Tyre, which is a Gentile or a pagan area. And he was, it sounds from the text that he was trying to lay low, to kind of getting out of Dodge for a few days, out of Israel, up into, kind of no man's land to kind of hide out a little bit, but it didn't work, of course. People followed him and found him and sought him out, as this woman does today in the text. A Syrophoenician woman. The Gospels are filled with this sort of image of those whom the Jews despised. So I'm not sure how it would work for you, but just imagine whoever it is you despise. Okay, I'm sure there must be somebody or some color of somebody that you have real problems with. That's who this lady was. And she comes after Jesus and says, "My daughter is in bad shape." Her love for her daughter is driving her on. And that sounds good, doesn't it? We like that. I think that's one of the best parts of the story where she's concerned. This is a mother trying to get her help for her child. I mean, we all understand that. She goes to Jesus, who she obviously knows is a helper. His reputation has gone before him. And she pleads for her daughter. He says, "We don't throw... You don't feed the dogs first. Come on. You're a Gentile. You're asking me to help you?" And then, of course, she comes back with the retort, "Well, but even the dogs eat scraps." I mean, it's a nice little bit of banter. We used to do that in this country years ago. We actually used to tell racial jokes to each other between the races. The Italians make fun of the Jews, and the Jews make fun of the whites, and the Polacks made fun of the Hungarians, and everybody, and we told those kind of jokes, and people kind of winced and got a little upset, but nobody really went crazy. It was bantering. That's what this is. You can hear it if you look at the text and think about it. There's sort of a little ethnic bantering going on here. Everybody knows what the rules are. Everybody knows way before this happens how it works. She knows, Jesus knows. Just a little bit of repartee, no big deal. It's almost as if Jesus is sort of making light of the whole thing. And then he says, "You're right. Your daughter's healed. Enough of this nonsense. Let's get to the real stuff here." Well, back in 83, I was in East Germany for a couple of weeks. And you talk about being on lockdown. That whole country was on lockdown. Nobody trusts anybody. Atmosphere of repression wherever you went. Secret police were with us for 2 weeks. I mean, you couldn't breathe without somebody knowing what you were doing. And some of you, I know, was talking to Pat Martin the other day about being in Hong Kong, I think it was. Is that right, Pat? And she'd come back to the hotel at the end of the day, and they knew where she'd been, where she'd eaten, where she'd shopped. And it's not hard to draw the picture there. You know, you get the message, don't you?
Ooh.
Better be careful. Utterly untrusting, ungracious environment. And Linda and I were in Israel a couple years ago, 3 years ago or so. And we had a wonderful man, a Jewish guy, took us all over Jerusalem. Great guy. Went out to the Sea of Galilee, showed us around all that stuff, Capernaum. And he was just it was a lot of fun, knowledgeable. You could tell, just a really good human being, nice guy. And as we got on the bus and we're moving toward the Palestinian Authority, where Bethlehem is located, we had to stop and let him off the bus because he couldn't go in. And I remember seeing him standing on the curb looking as the bus drove away. And then as we got into the Palestinian Authority, two teenage boys got on with machine guns. Walked down the aisle, looked us all in the eye with their guns raised like this. Welcome to Bethlehem, the land of Jesus, the place where the Prince of Peace was born. See, well, those are dramatic anecdotes, but you and I have pulled the same nonsense. You know, you've been in those conversations about those people, haven't you? Well, I have. And there's no better time to find those conversations than during political years. We're just not very gracious. That's the bottom line. We're not. So what's Jesus up to in this ungracious world? What's he doing? And the next thing is he goes over to the Decapolis, which is these 10 little cities around up, way up northern Israel, or near northern Israel, Gentile Greek cities, 10 of them. And there's a guy there who can't speak and he can't hear, and he heals him. Another Gentile, another pagan, another one of those people. You drive around those neighborhoods. You know, you live in a gated community, not one of those places. Keep the riffraff out. Well, what's going on here? Well, what's going on here is Jesus is something that we are not. He's free. He's free. And the only power that frees, not politics, not constitutions, not political parties, not economic status, it's love. It's the only power that can truly free. Some of us are in bondage in relationships where love is diminished, maybe almost gone. We're trapped. Some are in bondage to work, to professions, have to be good for something. No way out of it. And on and on and on the forms of our bondage go. But Jesus was free. Free. Let's go to Jerusalem. Oh, no, let's go to Samaria. Oh, let's go. Let's just go. But, you know, wait a minute. The disciples say, you're crossing. You can't go over that. You can't go over that line. Why not? Well, we just don't do that. Well, I guess I'm not you, am I? And so he moves across the boundaries. He moves into the places where the bound ones live, where you live. There isn't something, I mean, it's so plain, isn't it? You know, I read a sermon last week about this text. It was a waste of 11 minutes, or whatever, how long it took me. It was a sermon about how all this is about is how we should be inclusive. Good luck. Are you kidding me? Inclusive? How's it going out there? I mean, we're at a point now in Western society, we can't speak for others so much, but we have inclusivity going on, and it has to be enforced on us everywhere. It has to be legislated. Oh, we're inclusive, all right, at the point of a gun. We resent it, a lot of us. So you see, when we look at this text, it has to be about something utterly different. And it is. It's about God's grace. It's about the love of Jesus that doesn't have any interest in boundaries, but is very interested in the things that bind us, that hold us captive, to which we so willingly give ourselves so often, our prejudices and our biases and our hatreds. He wants to break through all of that, break it down, and create a new person out of that old person that is stuck in all of this other stuff. And that's what you see going on in the New Testament. Remember the man he healed who'd been possessed by all the demons and lived in the tombs, lived in the graveyard? Yikes. I mean, talk about being tied in knots. And Jesus releases him from this terrible bondage, and he says to Jesus, I want to go with you. I mean, there's a whole new life here. Obviously, you're the center of it. I want to be where you are. And Jesus said, no, you go home, and you tell him what God has done. And then he told his disciples, not that many months later, lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. You know, we can be that kind of people, not because we want to be, but because Jesus is among us. That's why. I know we don't want to be. We're happy in our prejudices. But God is happy in his grace. That's where he wants us to be, isn't it? In his grace. Oh, I know there's a price to be paid. And it can be a costly price. You know, you can pay dearly when you go where others don't want to go. Where the crowd has decided among themselves, we don't go there. Well, that sounds like a frightened, fearful little creature who's stuck on a little ball in the middle of nowhere. But God has moved among us in his grace, crosses all kinds of lines, all the boundaries, to gather together a people, to make a people that are rooted in his love and mercy, and not in their prejudices and bondage and biases, and all the things that have us in their grip. The only grip I want to be in is his grip. The grip of grace, which continually unfolds and pours out and never ends and renews life again and again and again. And that grace is what we all come here to rely on, isn't it? It's what we come here to feed on, to receive again in the word of forgiveness, in the word of the gospel, in the word of truth that is told to us, in the sacraments where we receive what we could never buy. And that grace, by God's own intention, is meant to flow back into our lives, into our families, into our marriages, into our businesses, into our other relationships, into our congregation. That we are in the light and in the power of that grace, a different kind of people, a people who are welcoming, who look beyond the easy distinctions and see only a person for whom Jesus Christ gave his life. And we welcome all then, because he has welcomed all on the cross through his blood and his forgiveness. Well, when I get to heaven, I guess that's assuming a lot, but, you know, what's my alternative? I would like to meet that cast of characters in the Gospels from all those other places, wouldn't you? The Canaanites, the Samaritans. They're going to be there. Don't make any mistake about it. The Roman centurion who Jesus said had more faith than all the people in Israel. I would like to meet those people. What was it like to meet grace under those circumstances? Because I grew up in the church, you know, and I had those words washed over me from the very beginning, but I want to know, what did it feel like to be so far outside the loop that nobody gave two hoots about you, and in fact despised you, and all of a sudden the Prince of Peace walks into your life, and kaboom, life is new. Things begin. Everything opens up. Grace abounds. I'd like to hear those stories, those old, old stories of Jesus and his love and grace from all those people whom others would just as soon have forgotten about. But he didn't. Amen.